Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast where we tackle everything that could concern you, whether you are a parent, just simply an adult, basically a human being, from the perspective of non-experts. I am one of those non-experts. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so happy that you tuned in today.
Yeah, we are full on into spring in the Carolinas, which means 30 degrees at night.
Yes.
60 degrees during the day.
No in the forecast tomorrow.
Oh, I hate it. I went and planted all my herbs and stuff, and now they're like frozen. So.
Oh, well.
That's upsetting.
They'll keep.
Yeah.
Just toss them in your freezer.
Nope, that's how it works. But anyway.
All right. Well, other than frozen herbs and a failed garden, is anything else
I'm not ready to admit failure yet.
Okay. I'm projecting on my own past attempts.
Yeah. I have consumed kind of a lot of entertainment lately, like a little more than is usual for me. And I have a lot of good things.
Okay. Oh, good. All right. I can't wait.
So buckle up. All available on iTunes.
Oh, good.
Because I don't go to the theater unless it's a Marvel or DC movie.
Which is hard to believe. I feel like there are so many Marvel or DC movies that you're always going.
Yeah. Well, 3 to 4 times a year.
Well, again, in comparison to you, once
that's
a decade.
Like daily.
Okay. But,
okay. So I finally watched The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Okay.
I had rented it on iTunes because it was 99 cents a couple weeks ago, and I died.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, it's good for if you just kind of want to, like, veg. You don't really want something serious.
Yep.
It's not a super, you know, like, some comedies, like, it's like, just be a comedy. Don't take it too long.
Yep.
And, I like that it was still, like, I thought it was still, like, a smart storyline. Like, you don't fully know what's going on.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon is, like, one of my favorite comics.
Okay, see, I don't follow her. Like, I don't know that much about her. I know who she is. I have never seen an episode of Saturday Night Live.
Does anyone watch the episodes?
Do they?
Do we just watch the clips?
I don't do that either, but.
Well, she just does a lot of characters that I think are really good, and I've watched those clips, and I've seen her in, I don't know. Now I'm blanking. She's in a whole lot of stuff, but
yeah.
She kills me. Like, she, and this one, she was really good too. Like, she and Mila Kunis, like, best friends.
Oh, okay.
And they just, like, go to bat for each other, and it's just super cute and real funny. And,
okay. It's my list.
Yeah. And Sam Heughan, who is an Outlander, is always one of my favorites.
That's great.
So he's in it too. And Mila Kunis is a really good actress.
Yeah. She, have you seen Black Swan?
I was just going to say that movie. What was it? Armchair Expert. Is that what you heard her interview?
Yes.
And she talked about how she wanted to, like, branch out and do serious things. And I feel like not everyone can branch out, but she really can. Like, I can't think of anything where she plays a role that I'm like, oh, you're not believable.
Do you feel like Adam Sandler has successfully transitioned into serious roles in the ones that he's been in?
What serious roles has he been in?
Spanglish?
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Okay. I think that there's TBD. Will Ferrell has also tried.
What has he done that's serious?
Stranger Than Fiction.
Okay, I haven't seen that either.
Okay, I will tell you somebody who does a good job is Ben Stiller.
What has he been?
This is a good game. This is a good game.
Yeah.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't see
that
either.
It's one of our favorite movies.
I don't do serious movies by comics, but I think Steve Carell does a good job at that. I guess I've seen like one or two where he's a little more serious. I know he's done more.
Yeah, he has. He's one of the more successful ones, I think, in a male role. But The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, I mean, it's old, but
Jennifer Aniston was in that, right?
No.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Along Came Polly.
Yep.
Ben Stiller, right?
Yes.
Who was in that?
Anyway. Can't remember, but it's very good. It's one of David's favorites.
Oh, cute.
And it's not like a super drama, but it's good.
Well, that's good to know. I guess I just typecast them in my head.
Oh, I know. Well, so, like I've mentioned probably a million times, we're on our way through The Office for the 17th time. So,
it's an old comfort.
Yeah.
So that was really good, and I recommend it. And on a more serious movie, I watched Colette.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Keira Knightley's best movie.
Oh, really?
For sure.
Okay.
She did so well. It's based on a true story.
Is it better than Atonement for her in it?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, that's the one that I think she won an Oscar for. And it is
phenomenal. Yeah, I did want to watch it. I don't know why I did. Oh, because it's long. I don't like long movies.
Okay, you have a very...
Very
exacting like, line.
Yeah. Isn't it like it's at or slow? Someone said it was slow.
It is slow, but it's very good.
I couldn't get into A Beautiful Mind, and that's like a genius movie because I can't do like slow.
Well,
movies.
Obviously, I'm a genius because I've watched it multiple times.
you can't comprehend it. Okay. I'll explain it.
Yeah.
No, it's like I want to be into those movies, but I'm like, I can't. So, but this was really good. And
okay.
I think you would like it. Cause it, like, she's like made for period pieces. Like,
oh, she
hasn't done anything modern since Ben like Beckham. I don't think so.
She was in that.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
One of my faves in the olden days. That's really more my speed.
Yeah.
This was just really cool. And, I guess Colette was in her lifetime the most famous like French female novelist.
Oh wow.
Or like first, she was like a very prolific writer. Anyway, it's like her origin story basically. And
I love that you're still really trying good. To make that a comic story.
Oh, I call story. Everything an
most
origin
people would call that birth or life.
Well, so. It is her life before she becomes well known, I guess. The origin,
okay, origin
of
story.
Her.
Okay. Well, on a very similar serious tone, I have been binge watching Yummy Mummies on Netflix. And let me tell you, that is that is some garbage.
It looks amazing. They're the British ones, right?
They're Australian.
Oh, Australian.
And they are garbage. But it has led me down a real deep Instagram path of Googling all these people, and it definitely feels more scripted than does like Real Housewives here. Huh. And again, that's saying a lot. I know that that's saying a lot, but I can't get enough of it. When you talk
that
about one
amazing.
That you don't have to pay any attention
yeah.
to. So when I was binge watching the Madeleine McCann docuseries,
yeah.
I would not go to bed unless I watched an episode of Yummy Mummies
sure.
in between.
Yeah.
Again, it's trash and it doesn't even make a lot of sense.
No, but you need your mind. It's like your mind needs to like have that like white noise before you decompress for the
yes,
night.
Yes. And this is 100% that. And I would really encourage you to watch it because mm-hmm. I want to know who your favorite is.
Okay. If I'm it, on it.
If any of our listeners are Yummy Mummy viewers,
Yummy Mummiers,
which I just even hate, say Marinska is my favorite.
Okay. Well, I automatically love that name. That's amazing.
She's incredible.
Yeah. Okay. I got to check this out. Was it Netflix or?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got to check this out.
So if you also listened or watched Yummy Mummies, actually somebody DM'd us about it.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I was already halfway through the series, but I figured you had not dipped your toes
I had
into
not.
It yet.
Or our DMs.
Yeah, good point. I forgot to tell you. But anyway, it's also very good.
It's funny that you talk about an Instagram rabbit hole that kind of dovetails into the third and final recommendation I have.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm rich with recommendations today. Please stay on track. I have discovered the podcast Eleanor Amplified.
Oh, tell me about it. No, I haven't even heard of it.
It's this family-friendly podcast about a reporter who is just like worldwide known for like getting to the bottom of the facts. Like she's
okay.
kind of like a Nancy Drew-ish. And
okay.
It's just a really entertaining thing. And it's kind of
does
like...
Does she tell stories?
No, like... No, so it's like, did you listen to Adventures in Odyssey?
No.
No?
I don't even know what that is.
Wow. Some people know what that is out there.
How many? Amanda?
My brothers, Amy.
Okay.
My Amy. Not
so you. So the regulars.
No, my brothers don't listen anyway, so they'll never hear this, but I'll be texting
so
them.
So you're down to?
Down to Amy. Amy, message us.
What is that?
No, so it's this production. It's just kids' stories that I used to listen to when I was little. And,
oh, so it would be like a radio program.
Yes, it was okay. a radio program back when tapes and cars were a thing.
Oh, yeah, I was only listening to Amy
right.
at the time.
Oh, well, duh.
So, or Stephen Curtis Chapman, King of the Jungle.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So
flashback.
Good.
Well, that's now in my head now. Those are words that Passan would never understand. But it was like a radio production of these kids. And they were in this person's ice cream shop. Anyway, it's kind of reminiscent of that in that it's like a fun. This one is more, it's a serial episodic type thing.
Yeah.
And so my official recommendation would be ages 4 and up because.
Okay.
I think younger kids don't quite understand like how series and episodes work and like mm-hmm. following a story. Mm-hmm. And there's also the nuance of like it is family friendly, but like they say stuff like shut up and you dummy.
Ugh.
Not in like a rude way, like not in a way that you would be like, oh, it's not in like
tell
a
me in which that
Rugrats way.
Okay, well, I was allowed to watch Rugrats.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I was like a good kid though, so it's different.
But please give me an example of which you could say shut up or dummy that is not in a rude way.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're not being rude. I'm saying this is not like a rude show that you would be
gotcha.
like
a Ren and Stimpy.
Yes.
We can equally agree that that show is off limits.
For sure, for sure. That one, it's just like, it's like, I don't know, he, like the clearly comic villain is like... you big dummy or something.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like
they're like framing it as this is a poor thing
right.
to say.
It's not like the good characters, the good ones say it, not the Hannahs of the world.
Sure, yep. But I'll buy into that.
Like, Milan is old enough to understand, and kind of Maya understands, like, what she can and can't say. But, like, he's old enough to understand, like, all right, well, you can't say stupid, like, you're saying. So, like, the nuance of that, and then, like, especially in trying to talk about, like, having an imagination and, like, what's real and what isn't real. But it's checks all my boxes of strong female characters, entertaining for everyone. And there's just so much like dry humor stuff that like I laugh at.
Yeah.
And they clearly are basing like it's like based off of stuff in real life. And like the main villain company, I interpret to be based off of Amazon.
Oh, cool.
So,
that's funny.
TBD, everyone listen if you aren't already. Eleanor Amplified. Start with episode one.
Okay.
It's like 10 minutes. It's like our drive to preschool and home.
Oh, that's perfect.
Our drive is to preschool is one episode. Drive home is one episode.
Oh, that's perfect.
So it's like a perfect episode. And there's one thing where like the main villain is trying to like hypnotize people with like hilarious and internet cat videos. And they make a comment about like, of course they're hypnotized. We have them in internet rabbit holes all day or something like that.
Really
so
funny.
It just made me think of that. Like there's all these like subtle things. Like the kids aren't going to get that.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm like, what if like all these kids who listen to Eleanor Amplified, like, grow up hating Amazon, and, like, it starts a revolution.
We're coming for you, Bezos.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of strong female characters, I binge listened to a podcast last week called The Dropout about Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm dying to
Theranos.
Listen to that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't understand how I didn't hear the story when it was breaking. It was 2017. I did not hear this either.
And I'm like, what is Theranos? I did not know until recently.
Okay. So if you were like me and didn't know. Yeah. So I had seen The Dropout like everywhere, like people talking about it. And by everywhere, I mean like the two places that I ever look at anything.
Us Weekly and People Magazine.
Yeah. But I, again, hadn't heard of it. So I didn't know. So Elizabeth Holmes is the youngest female self-made billionaire from Silicon Valley.
Up until right now. Up until this year or whatever.
Yeah, with Kylie.
Right.
So before Kylie.
Yeah.
Anyway, she did this medical startup, Theranos, who claimed that they could run 250 medical tests with a single drop of blood.
Right.
So instead
Which
of vials
amazing.
And vials. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
And it's like an in-home machine, right?
Portable machine. But they signed a deal with Walgreens to be in all of these Walgreens stores.
Oh, wow. What was her machine called that she wanted to build? The Einstein machine or something like that. Not Einstein, but it was like...
Oh, Edison. The Edison device.
Edison device,
okay.
Yeah.
But ultimately... she was arrested now. It was an elaborate scheme. They said like the largest Ponzi scheme. She had hired people away from Apple, like all of these places to come work. But she herself is a character.
She's so interesting.
So she found the designer, and I use designer a little bit loosely, but the designer of Steve Jobs's black turtlenecks, and that's all she would wear too.
He had a design. He didn't just like, buy them in a 10-pack on Amazon. That's kind of what I...
No, it was like this Japanese designer black turtleneck, so that's all she wore. She changed her voice.
I figured out about there. I read about this.
If I had not read anything about it, I was just kind of tired of like murder, true crime. Mm-hmm. And I do like white collar crime or black turtleneck crime, however you want to.
It's a joke. Crushing it.
Yeah. But I had no idea what she sounded like. And she is like these big eyes and blonde hair. And like you kind of picture her. Sounding like one of us, maybe.
Right. And like slicked back blonde hair.
Yeah.
And like she has like one look.
Yes.
Right.
For sure. Single look. But her voice, you need to pause us and go try to find a clip of her voice.
I can't even like do it seriously.
No, you can't.
Go Google.
I wonder if I could play.
Google Elizabeth Holmes' voice.
Yeah. It's this baritone.
Yeah. But it's like if you
modulated
were,
baritone.
Like if you, a woman, were imitating a man.
If you were
like what
imitating
you would do as a joke.
Yeah, like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman.
Yes, exactly. The classics. But you sounded foolish doing it.
Yeah, that's how she sounded, which apparently is her fake voice. Like she has
a
real voice.
I can't believe that.
So I found on YouTube like this I don't know, medley of interviews that she did wherein she slipped out of the fake voice.
Oh.
And you can tell, I mean, it's a fake voice. But if you're going to choose a fake voice,
yeah,
mine would be a British accent.
Oh, duh.
Obviously. I don't know why you would choose that voice.
Well, back in the day, I worked in a daycare center. And this old lady had, you know, who was like the type that's like, should she be holding?
Okay, babies? Sure.
She was very, very, very traditional in mm-hmm. her ideals on childcare. She would always say, I worked in the infant room,
mm-hmm.
and she would always say that we needed to, like, when the babies are like acting up or something or like upset or whatever, like,
yeah,
speak to them in like a deep man's voice because
what?
Deeper voices like calm them.
Soothe. That's, in-
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, kind of like show authority.
Right, so, sure. Well,
it's a different time when she was raised.
Yeah, apparently she did feel like she would be taken more seriously by capital,
right,
venture capitalists with a deep voice, but her normal voice is not deep.
Right. It's not like, I don't know, Reese Witherspoon's the person that pops into my mind only because she's got a higher voice.
Right. It's not like a cartoony voice.
Right. Were there interviews with people and are they like, oh, I wondered if something was up with her voice. Are they just like,
yeah, they do a whole, one of the episodes has clips with like old professors and stuff mm-hmm. who worked with her, and they talked about how when they had her in class, that was not her voice. And then they talked to some employees who like never saw her fall out of character of her voice. But you can
wow.
see in interviews that are
respect.
Like harder hitting. Yeah, really. I'm like, does she work with a voice coach?
Right.
Or next week, like, when you all listen,
up.
I
yeah.
will have adopted a new voice.
Oh, just do our stories like that for a week.
Oh,
say nothing.
Done.
Only if you listen to this episode will you know what it's about.
Otherwise, you're going to think I'm a fool.
I get a lot of unfollows. So,
gosh, man, we're walking on eggshells as it is. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I highly recommend it. It
yeah.
is fascinating.
That,
she started the company when she was 19.
19?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't she not finish?
Yeah. That's why it's called The Dropout. She dropped
oh,
out of Stanford
it.
To do this.
Right.
But thinking about her, I mean, she's a crook. Sure.
Did she have godlike visions of herself? Like, did she think she could really do this?
Yes. Well, they actually get into that a little bit, and they pull a few people.
Oh, okay.
Of, did she just get in over her head trying to prove that she could do this because she believed in it?
Like, prove that she was, like, some wunderkind.
Yes. I think that that was kind of it. Kind mm-hmm. of like Orion from The Office.
Yeah.
Like, with a high opinion
when
of herself.
When I said wunderkind, that's
that
what
is what it triggered.
That's where I heard that word first in my life.
Yeah. And then other people are torn of whether she knowingly...
Right.
Started out to do this to steal money.
Right.
But anyway, very much recommend. It's a pretty easy listen because it's not, again, it's not a murder.
Right.
And
like assault or something.
No.
Like,
and you can kind of.
Another one we binged.
Oh, yeah. You can kind of dip in and out. Not really. You could each episode stands alone enough that like
oh,
you don't
yeah.
have to get so sucked into it. Like if you listen to Dirty John, you want to keep listening to every
oh,
episode.
That was a good one.
That was this one is like perfect for a commute. You can stop
yeah.
it for a little bit and then pick it back
You're
up not, and
like,
not like, have to remember where
or,
you were.
What was that other one? Slow Burn was the one weird time. I just mentioned
oh,
assault,
yeah.
but what was the one that came out like last year? It took place in like backwoods Alabama.
Oh, S-Town.
Yes. Oh, that one I couldn't stop listening to.
I never finished it.
Oh, really? How could you not finish it?
I don't know.
To me, I couldn't stop listening. I thought that was very well produced.
It was super well produced, but I just didn't finish it.
Also, the guy who talked reminded me of my friend Ben.
Oh, really?
Listen, but
John B.
Jenny does. Hi, Ben and Jenny. Yeah. No. Not John B. No.
Oh.
The narrator.
Oh, the journalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy from New York. Anyway. There's such good content out there, I'm telling you.
There is. I mean...
Good stuff. People out there doing good things.
Well, I just...
Thanks for listening to us.
I just downloaded Murderville, so I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah. Spoilers. Not well, I'm thinking.
All right. Well, anything else before we dive into this week's
topic?
Let's
get to it. I'm excited to break this down.
All right. We'll be back right after the break. So we are back, and last week at the time of this recording, we polled our followers on Instagram. If you are not following us there, come jump on in. We're at A Good Idea Pod. Just to make sure that the content that we're producing is what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that I asked, or we asked, it was me.
Yeah. I don't think anyone at this point is unsure.
I don't want to lift the veil too soon, you know?
Don't want to find out what Elizabeth Holmes' true voice is like
over
here.
Exactly right, which we did during the break. But we wanted to know what topic stood out mm-hmm. to people the most, because we want to make sure that that is on track with what we think. And yeah. I think that we could agree that the topic that we landed on was one that has meant a lot to us, mm-hmm. Which was mental load.
Yeah, a lot of people said that that one kind of resonated. And some people said, or at least I saw like once or twice in the screenshots you sent me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of some people were like, oh, like it's a word to like, now I have the words to describe how I feel, which yeah. is how I felt. I think when you told me the words mental load.
Oh, really?
Because it's not like, I don't know. It's not where you're going to read like in a text. No.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you know, we didn't want to just bring new conversation to a topic. Mm-hmm. We really do talk about this a lot. And yeah, I feel like yeah. increasingly I'm talking about it and using the term mental load with a lot of people, because mm-hmm. it doesn't just stop with defining it, right?
No, for sure. And life changes so quickly and so often, and you find different things that work for you, and you find out like, oh, that wasn't working for me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to always continue to like break things down.
Yeah. And you know, I've been thinking about it a lot with some life transitions that we've been going through, and I feel like I've found the source of a lot of my mental load, where it okay. stems from. But I want to know from you, like, what overarchingly causes you the biggest amount of mental load?
Meaning from a like literal level of like things I have to do, or like from a more like a
mine is more like conceptual, emotional, right. like what causes the stress? Because I think we can all agree, no matter what life stage you're in, you have too much on your plate. Anyone listening,
mm-hmm.
but where it begins to tip from just being busy to that, I can't manage it. This feels unsustainable. I'm right. feeling burdened by this.
Yeah.
Usually stems from something else. So for me, it's an emotional side of things.
Yeah. For me, I feel like I tend to be my own worst enemy.
Okay. So for me, yeah, I'm definitely my own worst enemy. I agree with you there. But I finally, I think, drilled it down that guilt is the number one motivator and feeder
right.
of mental load for me. It's the one thing that even if some of my tasks are done, that's a hard word to say, tasks are done, that is an overriding theme for me is guilt.
Right. So you're saying, for instance, you are like doing pretty well throughout the day. You like have a break between meetings and you could like sit down and like read a book for yourself because your daughter's like watching TV alone. The yes. other girls are napping. But instead, you're going to do what?
Well, either I will sit there and not do anything and then berate myself internally for not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm guilty about that. Or I feel guilty that the house is
right.
Is, you know, whatever, right. out of order.
Like you could be using that time to do laundry couch.
I'll never do laundry couch. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
But it all, it kind of feels like nothing is motivated by just the desire to eliminate stress as yeah. much as it is motivated by I'm guilty that I haven't.
Yeah, that's something I'm kind of working out, because that same thing happens for me. Like I'll think, oh, I have like a second to breathe because mm-hmm. I have worked to plan my day out well.
Right.
And then
which
I'm
you're
like,
much better at than me. So I'm interested in your take on this.
Okay. Well, so Even though I do work really hard is not the right way to say it. I would say work smartly so that I don't have to like mm-hmm. work as hard. So that I plan if I get to like a break in the day and I'm like, oh, I can like read a book, I will be like, ugh, but I've got to go do this other thing.
Right.
But on Fridays, Passan spends a day with the kids so that I can write. Mm-hmm. And it will like get to me because he doesn't think that way.
Right.
So I'm just like annoyed because I'm like, okay, but you could be doing the dishes. You could be doing mm-hmm. this. But I've just come to I guess it's not that I've come to realize, because everyone's different. And this is what I've come to realize for myself in my house is like, I can't like put my level of need mm-hmm. for the house onto like someone else and make them do it and still expect like equal partnership. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
So I'm like, all right, well, it does bother me that you didn't clean up the dishes from this morning, but I could also just like leave the house and go work somewhere else and this wouldn't be my problem.
Sure.
I'm allowing it to be my problem by staying here.
Yeah.
And either one week I worked half the day at home and I mm-hmm. did other things that I do every day, like dishes and laundry in little breaks. And then I left in the second part of the afternoon. It's more like, I'm like, this is just how it is. Like, either I can be okay with a mess,
yeah,
which I'm not okay with a mess, or I can remove myself from the situation. So it's kind of like, depend, like, it's more like I was putting it on him, okay, you know, someone else, yep, but it's really like my own issue. And my issue stems from like, well, if I don't have a clean house, mm-hmm, like, I don't know, who is it for? Like,
yeah, I was about to say that. Like, my other number one motivator is that Allison comes to our house on Tuesdays, mm-hmm, and Wednesdays. And truly, like, we record on Monday, so I'm going to get home tonight or, frankly, first thing in the morning, and I will assess my house and think...
You will be getting home tonight. Well, what you mean is you'll be assessing the house next thing,
okay,
in the morning,
misplaced modifier, okay.
It's like, Hannah, we won't be painting the town red on a Monday night.
You didn't want to have a sleepover?
I don't know anyone, like, misunderstood that, but...
Did you misunderstand it, or did you just
like
want
we needed to say?
It's because I shame you way more than I give you opportunity yes, to shame me. Whatever makes you feel better about yourself.
You said something wrong there in case you wanted to correct
yourself. Did that ease your mental load?
It did.
All right. Sorry, guys. I'm an heiress, and we usually slide with things, as you heard last week.
Out of touch. Out of touch heiress.
As I was saying, I will assess my house and feel like, what messes were here last week when Allison was here? Because I don't want her to think that I have not done anything in our house since she was here last week.
So it's like the whole, like, I don't want someone to think I'm wearing the same t-shirt twice.
For sure. Would Allison care? No. Would she notice? Probably. Yeah. But I do, like, I pick what I'm going to do, like, to prep for her by basing it on, like, this lowest common denominator of what hasn't moved since last week, because I'm going to need to move that really quickly.
Yeah.
But I was kind of thinking about mental load, mm-hmm, tonight. I was cooking, and then while whatever was cooking was on the stove, I emptied the dishwasher and reloaded it. And I was kind of equating, for me, guilt and or mental load, because at this point they're a little bit interchangeable for me.
Okay.
To, I don't know if your house is like this, but we run our dishes so frequently, probably 2 or 3 times a day from the number of dishes that we go through. And it never seems like there's a point in which I'm emptying the dishwasher and not reloading it completely and running a load. Like, it's very rare that there's a space which I've unloaded the dishwasher, put what's in the sink in the dishwasher, and then I don't have to think about it for a while, because the next time I dirty a plate, I could just put it in the dishwasher. Like, there's room in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's like so many dishes going through.
Yeah. So I'm doing these full cycles. So I feel like that to me is what mental load or guilt is, that like, I don't ever have like the space to have that relief of, I could just slide something right here. There's space to fit this in here. So I'm either like completely offloading work. Thanks, I thought so too. I was pretty excited about it. So I'm either like fully offloading work so that, mm-hmm, I can fully assume motherhood.
Yes.
And so there's not room for anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's rare that there is that break where I'm like, I could sit here and I also have space to receive new things. It's like this constant mode of offloading the entirety of something else and, mm-hmm, assuming the entirety of something else.
Yeah.
And I don't know like how you manage that. I get bogged down with mental load is it like this forever?
Yeah, totally. Oh my goodness. And that's, I guess I've been realizing that more because my youngest child is getting older.
Yeah.
She's 2.5. It's not like she's
sure,
like older,
every day
but
she
like,
is.
Yeah. But I mean like older for me as in like,
parenting.
I no longer have, it's been a while, but I no longer have kids in diapers. I guess it's more like, I have kids who mostly know to stay out of the parking lot.
You have
that's
some self-sufficient.
Like, I have kids who mostly like have street smarts. I think that metaphor is really good. And I weirdly feel like, especially since the last time we talked about mental load, I'm in like a good place for
right
now. Oh,
that's great. That's really encouraging.
So you do you.
All right. So Hannah's the expert now. So go on. Regale us.
No, I mean, it's tough because, you know, like everyone is so different. And we've had a lot of people say like, well, you know, like I work full time in an office. Like you guys are a little more like flexible. I'm a lot more flexible than you even. So like it's easier for me to sit here and say, well, this is what I can do. And like I can write on Fridays because my husband can have like a little more flexibility to move his schedule around.
Right.
These are not things that everyone can have, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So in trying to, like, talk about what works for me, I wouldn't want anyone else to feel like, oh, well, that's never going to work for me, so there is no answer.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't have a great memory. I think I've talked about that
Yeah.
many times. I wouldn't know. but I have to write every single thing down.
Yeah.
And so it's worked for us really well to just like, we keep a joint calendar on our phones. And we put every single appointment in there. I write down everything. So like there's things I do at night to prep for the next morning. We've talked about those things. I feed the animals, which usually a lot of the things I'll like tell to do someone else. It's more like a checklist that I need to make sure it's done. My kids are getting older, so they can do a lot of things by themselves, but there's like a bunch of things, and it's literally right now on a post-it note on my fridge.
Okay.
It's not pretty, and I'm hoping Amanda will letter me something nice.
Oh yeah, Amanda, me too.
one day, but I mean, I don't have to think about it. It's the same for like, I keep our meals on a note on my phone and even snacks. Like everything is written down because the less that I have to think about and remember, the more space I have in my mind.
So that's great because, you know, I do that with meal planning. We've talked about it. Like I'll do 3 weeks at a time. So I don't have to think about it. But I'm so terrible at the day to day where I'll be great about it for like a week. And then even the process of it drives me crazy because I'm like, okay, is this to-do list for the entire week? Is it just for the day? Do I separate professional and personal?
No, so I'm not even talking about just like to-do lists. Like, so like I have like stuff I have to put in my gym bag. So I'll keep a post-it note where I keep my gym bag.
Okay, but here's
where... I don't have to think through those things.
That's great. So it's like a reference guide. Because if I make a list, I'm going to need to see each of those things like an action item. And so to me, having a perpetual list would make me feel like I'm not... I like the gratification of checking things off, but then I just don't do anything. I don't make the list because even then I feel overwhelmed by, I have so many lists I need to make or references or whatever. I don't know where to find the time, but in the time I've spent thinking about that, I could have done it.
You are neurotic.
Yeah, but like I'm neurotic in that I haven't done, but it's like the paralysis. Like, you know, the viral article that has been floating around a lot is the millennial burnout. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
But I really could understand that. I feel like I...
Yeah.
So we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I made 4 doctor's appointments, which... Yeah. My voice cracked. I was really excited about
She's homesing us.
Here's my real voice. but I want to cancel every single one of them because I'm like, ugh, I just don't really want to take myself to the dentist.
Right.
I haven't been in many years, but I just don't want to go. But it's like, why? What
I know, I don't like appointments of any sort.
Well, here's what I also drilled down today while I was emptying the dishwasher was... I feel like in life now, and maybe I read this in the article, I'm sure it wasn't an original thought. There are so many things that I feel obligated to already that any additional obligations I immediately want to just shed. So
Which I do think is a phase of life thing.
Yeah, because like
and
with work.
Your question a while ago.
Oh, yeah. With work, you know, I obviously feel obligated to my job and my boss, and I would naturally and do put the girls' needs way above, like last minute things, another ear infection, another doctor's appointment, whatever. So with mine, I immediately like bristle to an obligation.
Yeah, because it's like, you'll live.
Well, yeah, I'm like, I'm moderately healthy.
Right. And also like, I have to do a copay, but I know that like Jane Ellis is going to need a copay in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
So it's like different things. I'm not saying that I think our obligations like will be like floating free and easy when we have teenagers based on some encouraging things I've heard.
Some anecdotal.
But I mean, as they are more able to play on their own.
Yeah.
That's even a little different. Like it's less of like, I have to be the one entertaining them. It's like, that's why I had 2 of you. So you could do that for yourselves. Now go do it.
Do you ever feel guilty?
Yes. Okay. So this is what I was leading into when I was saying like, everyone can't have the same schedule.
Sure.
I think we all could stand to take, and again, this is not the same with people who have like a more strict office schedule, but there might be somewhere that you could tweak it a little bit in this way. So I have been trying to get to the gym early in the morning, earlier, like first thing of the day, because it's just everything starts better when I am up for the kids. I preach that all the time and it's so hard to follow because I'm not a morning person. I've never been a morning person, but Milan is a morning person.
Yeah.
Like he wakes up at 100 and it is really hard to wake up to that. Like you like have
David
to be,
struggles with that.
Yeah. You have to be awake before it or just like in a good mood in the morning. And like Hassan and I are not morning people at all. So I was trying to wake up at 5 or 5:30 and get to the gym because I had it set in my mind that I had to be back, showered and ready by 7. Because that's generally the time that the kids like start to get ready. lately it's been kind of all over the place. Like, it's whatever. They are not like scheduled. We're going to wake up at a certain time, kids. I'm over getting annoyed about it. It's our life. But I, like this morning, I guess over the weekend, I'm like, all right, there's no way I get work done for myself. If I put every, if I wake up myself at like seven or like, I obviously I wake up earlier, but if I don't get myself started and then I don't get to the gym till later. And then I like, there's just no way, there's no way you can do everything without, for me, without like getting there early so I can do everything else throughout the day.
Okay.
But I'm like, I don't have to wake up at the crack of dawn. Like I'm only trying to get in 30 minutes of a workout. I'm just trying to fill in my circle on my watch. And,
Steve Jobs.
No, but I just want to live a healthy lifestyle. I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm not trying to.
You could have fooled me.
Well, I know. I know that I am, how they say, Instagram model. Blessed.
Hashtag
But I'm just like, I just want to be healthy. I talked about my high cholesterol. I would love to test that again because I've eaten like three eggs since that appointment.
Let me recommend the Theranos machine, which can do all of that with a single drop of blood.
Elizabeth Holmes, I apologize for making fun of you. Please, can I have your machine? But I'm just like, why am I killing myself? So I woke up at 6 instead of 5 or 5:30. I felt fine. Like I didn't feel like super draggy because I made myself go to bed earlier, a little bit earlier last night. And then I got back. I just worked out for like 30 minutes. And then I got back and like the kids were already up. Passan had already showered because they woke him up. And like they're just super, super into cereal. They won't eat anything healthy that I make them or anything. So I'm like, whatever, I'll just get you the healthiest Cheerios I can find.
Yeah.
And it's easy. And when I got back, this is like rambling. I promise there's a point. When I got back, I got helped get them dressed because we hadn't laid out clothes the night before. And then I got in the shower. This is like 7:15 or whatever. And I get out of the shower and I get myself ready. And the whole time I'm like hearing him deal with them. Their lunches are already made. Everything was put together. It was really just managing the chaos, which is not like fun when you're trying to like have breakfast.
And it's not minimal. I mean, that's
no, it's not minimal. It's not, it's not a just, but it's like, it's not like it, it's not like I was like, you got this while you run around and do everything while I'm just getting ready. There was really no things to be done. So I kept like I kept fighting this urge to feel guilty because I wasn't out there doing it.
Okay, yes.
I'm like, okay, it's after seven. Like, I need to be out there. I need to be out there.
You felt like your shift clocks
Yes,
in
I did.
Seven.
And then I felt like, I need to go out and say thank you to him for dealing with them. And I thought all these things, and each one of them, I'm like, no, I don't need to go out there right now. I don't need to say thank you. It's nice for husbands and wives to thank each other.
Yeah.
It's not nice when it's overly weighted. It pisses me off when people worship their husbands on social media for doing
the bare minimum,
basicest of tasks. Like, just spending time with your children doesn't warrant you godlike status. That's literally the least I require of you. And that's not, like, Passan easily does that. And that
right, not
a criticism of him. So anyway, and then I kept thinking like, oh, I like, I'm just leaving him alone. But then I'm like, okay, but in a minute he's leaving me alone.
Yeah, not, for an entire day.
For a whole day. And it's not like he's going off to an easy job. His job is stressful in a different way than my life and job is stressful. So it's just it, like, I just, I'm like, he's fine. He's got this. I can't, at the same time, like, I can't step out and say, I wish this, this, or that. Like, I have to say, like, all right, I'm not going to control you. That's the hard thing, is that I
you can't
give
feel
up my
guilty.
Control.
Yeah, and you have to shelf your
control freak. So I did, and I got ready, and I thought, like, I was like, all right, I'm not going to feel guilty because you know what? Now I don't have to be the one frustrated with them.
Right.
Like, yes, it sucks that he's getting frustrated with them, but if he didn't, it will be me and I have to do it all day. So like, if I'm already losing my patience and then they have to spend the whole day with me, like, that sets the tone for our day.
Yeah, I do agree with that for sure.
So, and I, and he's not like, it's not like he expected me to say thank you or anything. Like, he wasn't like, I'm doing you a favor. That's not his perspective. His perspective is that we are equal partners in this raising of these kids.
Sure.
And him doing that so I could get ready was the same thing as I do it so he can get ready. I do, like, I like, it's just, it's all part of it. And it's not like, oh, he took care of them so I could get ready. What a saint. Like, no, he was just doing his part. And because of that, I had a great day with them and I didn't lose my temper one time.
Yeah.
That usually, I'm usually like frustrated with them way more. So all that to say, I had to fight the guilt for sure, but it very much worked out for the better.
I am feeling the biggest guilt when all of the different loads converge at the same time. So if I, Norabeth is very big right now. I'm playing Barbies and LOL. She has these like full on games. We play family and kittens and it's all like imagination based. And, which I love and I really enjoy playing it with her. But if it's a time that like, last week I had to get creative with our schedule because Jane Ellis did have another ear infection. There were just some things that happened. So I couldn't go into the office on Friday like I normally do. I stayed home. And during my work time, when the girls were at my mom's, I had to take her to the doctor, you know, all these things. So I'd had to call work. Then later in the afternoon, I was trying to play catch up with that and also cook dinner. And Norabeth and Annabelle were standing there like, don't you want to play with us? Do you want to play kittens? You're like, they're already in character. And I just felt so guilty having to say, I do, but I'm not going to right now. And I realize they're not going to be scarred by that, but it's at that intersection of suddenly I'm prioritizing something. And while I would tell you my family takes priority all the time, which it obviously did that day because I chose to be with my sick kid and spend the weekend at the doctor's office. It felt like in that moment I was projecting to them, everything else that I am engaged in right now is more important than you, and therefore I'm guilty. But earlier in the day, I was equally guilty that I had told work that I would be in the office and wasn't for the exact same reasons, and then was like sending texts like over justifying, like, here's a picture of her ear. Isn't this disgusting? But here's everything that we're doing.
They're like, oh, we believed you. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I really didn't want to know that. But, you know, it feels like I'm bouncing between guilt ball and guilt ball.
Yeah.
I need a different word for that, but.
Oh, I liked it. And that's our episode title. No, I think like there's nothing you can say, like it has to be a decision you make and it has to be right for you in that moment. Like either you can feel guilt or you can't feel guilt, but I think, or you won't. I think you should ask yourself if your partner, whatever that is for you, would feel guilty given this similar scenario.
Yeah. You know, I was going to bring this up when you were just sharing yours, because I do have to remember, like, David is very invested in our family, obviously.
Very much so, yeah.
But he probably doesn't feel the guilt. We've never talked about it on a deep level of, do you feel guilty? Because
probably
there's no way to bring that.
He listens. Hey,
yeah, that's right. Hi, David. Thank you. But that's a hard thing to bring up without it sounding like, here's a question that you should feel if your answer is no. But like yesterday, Sunday afternoon, I was outside with all three girls and Maya and Milan while you guys were, I don't know, feeling guilty watching basketball.
March Madness only happens one time a year.
Yeah. Well, not for me. I was outside with all of all of the
like
kids.
You don't like basketball. I don't feel. Well, fine. Until your child started projectile vomiting, I didn't feel super guilty. Then I did. Sure,
thanks for
a little bit
stealing the punchline. Oh. So then while everybody was out there playing, and Blair started projectile vomiting all over Jane Ellis, who truly cannot
that
catch a break.
Child.
She split her lip open this weekend, has this like Joker style bruise
she
on her
does.
Face. Got three shots in the last 4 days and then got vomited all over.
Still smiling. Like,
I mean,
bless
life. So I was like busy texting Hannah, like, I'm going to send Maya Milan inside.
You're so casual about it. You're like, sending them inside. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
just sitting there.
Just start Annabelle's yelling or just send them. Like, you don't owe me an explanation.
I know. Well, I had just sent David a picture of like this road rash that Anna Blair had gotten trying to ride the scooter down the driveway, which we should have known wasn't going to be a good idea. So I sent him the picture of it, and he was like
in a, like between an acute and a 90 degree angle. So like halfway there.
Good.
I don't know the
it's
degree. 45 degree
okay,
angle.
I'll go with that. Anywho, I just sent him that picture of her thigh all messed up.
Aww.
And he was like, oh, that's so sad. And then like within 30 seconds, I was like, and now she's projectile vomiting.
He's like, what the?
No, he said, did she fall and hit her head? Like, I guess that he thought that she had like a concussion.
Oh, no, he's probably like real worried.
And
I would never have gone there.
No, he was worried about that. But then I also then followed it up with, oh, and now Jane Ellis is throwing up, which I don't think that she actually was. I think it was just ill time spit up. But
I mean,
regardless,
were someone vomiting on me, I too would probably.
I wasn't
throw
sure
up as a reaction.
where the chunks were coming from at that point.
Oh my god!
But I realized like he just casually was like working, and he was working hard.
Right.
But
and
whereas
it didn't like. Do you think it struck him like, oh, I gotta like immediately leave and come home?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he ended up home at a decent time.
To be clear, I'm not saying
he should have.
Do you think he should have come home?
But I just found out that I just booked a trip that I'm taking with work in June, and I'll be gone from Thursday through Sunday, which is the longest I've ever been away from the girls.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's for work. It's not like a fun one.
Get.
I know. Except it's a 24-hour event, so probably not a whole lot of sleep. But the longest I've been away from the girls is to have other babies. So this is like the first time.
They're going to expect you to come home from the trip with another baby.
With a surprise, not happening.
Yeah.
But I realized if David, while I'm gone, says so-and-so's throwing up or got hurt or whatever, I'm immediately going to feel awful
that
he's dealing with it.
Right.
I'm going to feel guilty for the girls that they're in some kind of distress and I'm not there.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to feel guilty as a partner that I'm not there.
Yep.
I'm like, I've got to shed that because he doesn't feel that way, I don't
think.
No,
and
David, DM us if... shoot us an at.
DM me, I'll tell Caroline. No, but I mean, and it's not... Like, it's hard to say that and... it not come off as what seems like a criticism, but it
for sure
isn't. Like,
it's healthier.
It is healthier. And it's not like I'm saying be more like the dads.
I messed up, you guys. I'm admitting it.
No. I mean, because like that's what I was thinking through, because I'm like, you know, while he's out there dealing with the kids, like I'm like, oh, well, they're like, he's getting upset. Like maybe I should go out there. And then I'm like, how many times do I get upset with them?
Yeah.
And it's just me and them. Like, he can figure it out with them.
Yep.
If I constantly,
and it strengthens their bond.
That, exactly. Like if I constantly step in any way, mm-hmm. they do not know they can run to him. And then what you have is like kids always running to mom, even when dad's around.
Our friend Megan, who's going to be on the podcast in a little while.
Totally.
At Pluff Muds, she was telling me her kids are a little bit older, but she was saying that same thing. She was just trying to go to the bathroom and they were sitting right there beside her husband, but then still sought her out. But it is, when you're the primary one, like you just kind of have this routine.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a bond, you know.
It is, and it's not like,
born
oh,
out of that.
Moms, stop being sensitive to your kids
no.
who are crying because they
you're
threw
filling
up
a
and
need
have
for them.
Rash and like stuff.
Yeah,
like it's not
Amber.
That, but like we will be there for them as much as we can. We as good parents, moms of any type, you know, moms who are a mom by any situation will be there when we can. We cannot always, and that's totally okay. When I was in second grade, I was with like my parents went out of town for some reason, not like a vacation, it was like work related, and I was staying with a friend and I was running through the woods as we always do. And I,
even still, if you want to know what Hannah and I are doing, it's generally just running through the woods.
Typically. I fell over a log, I tripped, and I split my pinky finger open.
Oh, gosh.
And I had to get stitches. And the whole time, my parents weren't there. My mom's going to call me if I'm wrong. I don't remember them being there because I remember, I mean, 100% when they heard, they would have come home as fast as they could. But, like, I remember as I was getting the stitches, I looked up. It was my friend's dad that was there because he was wearing glasses.
Gosh.
So I asked him to remove them because I could see the reflection. It's such a vivid memory to me.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
But the point is, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And my parents were not like right there. My mom was not right there. And like, I'm totally fine and well adjusted.
Are you?
So
it's not what you're telling me on the way over here.
I'm sure I was like scrambling. No, but I mean like, yeah, it sucks if you can't be there all the time, but we literally are doing the best we can. And like, they are way more fine in most normal situations than we think they are.
Yeah, that's
so.
No, I think that's great. And again, this is a conversation we'll continue.
Yeah.
We, you know, had just been visiting it. And as you can even tell, we're in different places on this right now. And we will continue to be.
Right. And as life, like, I'm just, like, again, I'm at a place in my life where I'm not, like, feeling super pulled in a bunch of different directions.
That's great.
It's not that I'm saying that life is easy, but what I'm saying is that has freed up a little bit of space, like doing little things, like for instance, writing everything down and making sure Passan knows where everything is written.
That's really good.
So that it's not like, oh, did you want me to do that? Like, it's more like, well, no, I didn't. I would like for you to think to do that, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, free up that space in your mind so you can think about other ways that you could. I'm not saying you, I'm saying me, you know, like what else
can I. The universal you.
Yeah, exactly. Like what else what else could I be doing? Because I, because I've done these things, like because I write everything down, so I never have to think about the minutia.
Yep.
Then I can look at my bigger problems. Cause like scheduling is a really big problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there is no way. Like I have the same 24 hours that, Michelle Obama has.
Yeah.
No, that was just, obviously she's the first person that came to my mind. Anyone.
Well, obviously, sure.
The same 24 hours that Caroline has.
Again, obviously. No, my friend Amy always says that. Like, if anybody is feeling jealous over somebody else's resources or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Everybody has the same 24 hours in the day, and however they choose to use it is theirs. Like, you just customize it however.
We say a lot, too. Like, we are not obviously speaking about people born into poverty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's...
Yeah, we'll continue checking in on this.
Yeah.
If you have any good, helpful handles for either battling guilt, so it doesn't rule you, or...
Right, yeah. So you can enjoy life.
Yeah, or if you have other helpful tips that Kana has mastered, us know.
Ideally, you would DM Caroline. She's the one in need.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Whatever. I'm going to hide all this. So. anyway, yeah, just let us know. And if you haven't already, if you know somebody who would benefit from a conversation about mental load, share this episode.
Yeah. And as we referenced before, we have it all together.
Clearly.
We were running extremely late today, and I was running out to my house.
We were not.
Well, I thought we were a team, but okay. I was running extremely late today. I ran out to my house. Forgot how to get us in here,
yep.
So we're running late. We don't have time to do a whole segment, but maybe a quick good idea. Should we catch up on last week's episodes? What's the...
Yeah, how is Suckalicky?
Well, Suckalicky has been repotted. I found the plant suspiciously not...
That sounds like another euphemism.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know for what, but I'll figure
it's
it out.
There.
Urban Dictionary probably has it.
Yes. I found the plant basically like pulled out of the tiny pot it was in and then like placed back down.
Oh, that's
probably.
Funny.
Like as if I wouldn't... Like, no.
Yeah, sure.
So I went ahead and repotted.
Do you remember how many things like as a kid you would mess up? I always did. And I thought that like my parents would never know. And now when I see my kids do stuff, I'm like... Well, obviously.
No.
Like,
my
I
gosh,
used to
I don't
eat butter.
Oh, my gosh. You're like Maya and my brother.
Yeah. I would just put the stick of butter back in the fridge and, like, run my finger over it. And
up.
I was like,
I'm going to throw up.
But I just kept thinking, like, no one will know.
Oh, I can't handle it. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what is, like, killing me about this eating butter thing, but it's not great.
Yeah. Well, regardless, I remember just feeling like no one will know. And it is so clear.
Where's the butter going?
Yeah, it's
to the
very
butter
obvious
fairies.
When my kids have been somewhere.
Yeah, it is. It's so obvious. So Suckalicky, Milan is now calling it Sucky.
Okay, well, that's better. It's an upgrade.
Yeah, I would call it a... I would say we're in a good place.
That's Suckalicky's Sasha Fierce.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Jane.
Sucky. He's like, where's Sucky? And I'm like, okay, we're
downstairs.
Going
there. That's good.
So anyway, what is the update on the glitter train?
I am just trying to embrace a sparkly house. I'm going to make it like... I'm sure you'll see it on Howls or Pinterest
girl
soon.
Mom.
Yeah.
Just
you'll,
kidding. I hate those.
It's the me too. very much. But yeah, it's everywhere. Tomorrow, our angel fairy Tammy is coming for 4 hours. And while I did have a pretty big list for her to tackle, I think now her primary objective is going to be glitter containment.
Yeah, for sure. I don't even think you'll need to explain.
I won't need to leave a
there's
list.
There's glitter. Just
I don't even have to tell her there's
it.
Glitter. Yeah, I don't know. She'll do something with it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, that's our show for today.
We'll see you back here next week.